How's it going, everybody? This is the Hot Out Hoops podcast, 2012 preseason wrap-up. It's about to start the regular season right now. Just a couple days away, finally, after a pretty long preseason from the Miami Heat. But we're all here, everybody here from Hot Out Hoops. I got Diego, Menelik, and Jay. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, we just got these this pretty big news last night with the James Harden trade. What are you guys' overall impressions about the trade? Who was the better team that came out of it, and how is this going to affect the West?
I think it's debatable right now who the better. I mean, I guess because Sam Presti obviously made a good decision in terms of trying to prepare for the future. Just have more salary flexibility. But, I think it remains to be seen what kind of draft picks they'll yield in the following year. Because if those picks are good, then I would say that the trade was a success in terms of building towards the future. But I guess you can also argue that the Thunder took at least a little step back, a small step back this year, losing Harden, if not a pretty big step back. Because I don't think within 1 year's time, Jeremy Lamb or Kevin Martin is going to be able to fill that void and have that chemistry that they had with Durant and Westbrook this year. So I would say that Houston, in my opinion, I think Houston gave up a lot. And assuming Harden signs that extension by Wednesday, then I guess they would win. But if he doesn't, then they're going to be right back in the same scenario where they have to move Harden again. So it's
And as far as my opinion on this whole trade, I think that Houston obviously was trying to get a top tier player. We saw in the vetoed Chris Paul trade, they were trying to get Pau Gasol, did not get him. If you compare Harden to Gasol, I think you're getting a younger player, a player who can sign to a max contract. But I don't know if Harden is that type of franchise player that you can build a legitimate contender around and he can, be the centerpiece of a championship team. I don't know that. He's a very good player. Maybe he is just that third best player on a championship contending team, but we have to see that. And as far as from the Thunder, which I think is more relevant to the Heat because the Thunder are obviously going to be in the playoff hunt. I mean, I don't know if the Rockets will even make the playoffs even after this trade, but I think that it makes them worse. I don't know why they did this trade, especially now when they could have just waited a year, just play out the year. Maybe you can sign and trade them, still get the same value back, but you would have made at least one more run at a title. I also don't know why they paid Serge Ibaka $12 million, and I think they're overpaying for Kendrick Perkins, and then they're letting James Harden go. If I were to choose between Ibaka and Harden, I would have chose Harden any day of the week, and I think that they made a wrong choice here. I mean, I know that when this was all going on, everyone said they're going to have to choose between Harden and Ibaka. I would have chosen Harden. That's just my opinion, but I guess that Sam Presti feels differently.
Let me gather my thoughts. This is Jay here. I think we have to put everything in context that instead of not just saying that, did they lose the deal, but I mean, everybody loses a deal when they trade a star. So, we just have to kind of compare it to, how much did they limit the bleeding and how much did they potentially get in the future? Because they by far got more than the Orlando Magic did for Dwight Howard. It's not even close. They have potentially, three lottery picks out of this, including Lamb and two guys and two picks from Dallas and
Toronto.
And Toronto for the Lowry trade. Yeah, so they got that in addition to Kevin Martin, who – is a year separated. He's not as good as James Harden was this year, but he's a year separated from a 21 plus PER season. So if you compare this trade and the Hornets got Eric Gordon for Chris Paul, so that's pretty good too. But if you compare this trade to other trades of stars, we've seen Memphis and Orlando get oiled for people like Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol. And, Oklahoma City got themselves a package back. I think we have to give them that much credit. But, yeah, but Diego's point is absolutely true. They overpaid for their big people, which is standard in the NBA. Serge Ibaka might actually live up to that contract if he develops defensively into what he can be. Kendrick Perkins is is just you know, a pretty bad, just a bad contract. So yeah, they made a bad decision there. And certainly I already had LA winning the West. This just makes it pretty much I don't even hesitate with that pick now.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you try to pounce on a good deal or roll the dice, like Diego pointed out, make one more run?
They could have just tried to at least come to a deal for at least one or two more days. I mean, the deadline was Wednesday, so it's not like they were running against any sort of clock. So I just don't know why. It seemed like they almost panicked, if you ask me, because they could have just tried to come to a deal for another day or two and then maybe say, okay, let's trade him. But now you're just trading him, it seems, on a whim.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, from what I understand, James Harden is the one, him and his agent decided not to sign that $54 million four-year offer, right? So ultimately, I think a decision was rendered on his side to try to get more money, right? So I can't blame Sam Presti for exploring options and pulling the trigger on a trade that's going to yield him three draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. Three draft picks. I will disagree, though. I do not think Kevin Martin I don't like him as a basketball player. I mean, I know he has a good resume. He has good career averages. But I think at this point in his career, he's one of the worst defenders in the NBA. I really think he's injury prone. You know, I know he has a good resume, but I'm not sold on Kevin Martin. I know, but I do like Jeremy Lamb. I think he's a very intriguing acquisition. The guy's very athletic, much more athletic than James Harden ever was. He can shoot the ball pretty well. So I love that acquisition. But I just feel like at the end of the day, though, I guess what I'm saying is if you're the GM, if you're Sam Presti, I guess, will you guys feel comfortable in saying, well, you know what? It's better to not focus on making a title run this year and let's just build for the future, even though you guys came off three wins away from the NBA Finals, a gold medal with your trio. You guys think that's a good decision?
Well, we have to understand that if his boss is telling him, I'm not going to pay for him, it's a decision he has to make. I mean, it's not his choice. So, like Diego was saying, it is a kind of a shame. If I was an Oklahoma City fan, I'd be upset because at both sides, just because you didn't. It's just the perception is you didn't try hard enough, and you just kind of made your offer, and James didn't take it, and you just shipped him. But yeah, if anything, yeah, I mean, if Scott Presti doesn't have a choice, I think he got a boatload back, and you know, I don't blame him for that.
But, I mean, this is a small market team. This is the definition of a small market team. Don't you think Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka, and Harden, arguably, couldn't they have taken less, just like the Heat did, to be able to build something special? I mean, really, what kind of sacrifices are the players making?
Yeah, but these players are young. I think these are guys who are coming off their rookie deals. I think they want to get paid. If you look at the big three in Miami, they already come off their rookie deals. Actually took a lesser contract in terms of length, in terms of only having a three-year contract, but not in terms of the money. So I think that's what they, that's what it basically came down to. And I think if you look at KD and then Russell Westbrook, they both took the max. I don't blame them for taking the max.
No, but this is a difference of maybe 4 or 5 million. Let's say Harden takes a million less, Durant a million. You know what I mean? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Like,
right.
What can the Thunder, front office do? I mean, arguably, yeah, they shouldn't have paid maybe as much for Ibaka, but Durant and Westbrook, I mean, you got to lock those two guys up.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Heat. All right, is this the MVP season another one possible for LeBron James? Do you see Durant making a serious push or another player, maybe even Dwight Howard with all this speculation with the Lakers?
Can I start this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
LeBron James is going, for the last 6 years and for the next 3 or 4 years, is going to deserve the MVP, barring injury. No question about it. He's led the league. The only season where he hasn't led the league in PER, the last time I think was 07, Dirk Nowitzki.
No, actually, Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade had the highest PER. I think it was in 2008, 2009.
Yeah. No. LeBron was points, like decimal points ahead. Like Dwayne Wade was 30.4. LeBron was 31.1. if I remember correctly. But I know he was decimal points.
You sure? I could have sworn. Okay, I could have sworn.
I mean, we can.
Okay.
I mean, we can fact check on the reference, but yeah, it's so like that it's not even a discussion. We're talking about the best player of his generation in his prime. Now that's not a discussion. Now, if we're talking MVP, we're talking about a trophy that historically voters are swayed by stories and narratives. It's why people like Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, and Derrick Rose have won. So we have to start to pinpoint, well, who's going to be the most appealing story for a media narrative? I think that's how we have to look at this award. I think that Deron Williams and Rajon Rondo have great opportunities to do that. Because Brooklyn opening that team, if they can make a run, like kind of like the Bulls made a few years ago in the regular season, even though they won't be better than Miami. And Deron Williams is perceived to be leading this new Brooklyn team and this New York somewhat New York basketball's back and all that type of storyline narrative stuff. He can definitely get in the picture. Los Angeles to me is cloudy because there's the perception that it's Kobe's team, even though he's not the best player on that team anymore. And the media is very hard for them to let go of Kobe Bryant as that guy. So and they're kind of stuck with the Dwight Howard thing. So that's kind of weird to me, but we just have to keep an eye out for stories. LeBron's going to deserve it, period. We just have to look out for stories that may put other players ahead of him. That's kind of the way I look at MVPs.
Yeah, he's right. I think that's a very good point. I mean, it's always about the narrative. Derrick Rose won. LeBron could have won that year. I mean, look back at when Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs. There was
Shaq and Duncan.
Right. I mean, you know, Shaq only has one in his whole career. That's you know? Kobe has one. Duncan has how many? Two? Does he have two?
I think it's two.
I mean, these are some of the best players of their generations, you know? So you're right. It really is based on the narrative. I'll just add on really quickly because I agree with him. I think LeBron every single year is going to be a candidate. I think two guys that have a chance that jump to mind are obviously Kevin Durant. We'll see how he responds now without James Harden. Perhaps maybe this will give us some insight as to how he will develop as a leader because he's going to have to bring that group together now. And then I think Chris Paul is also a candidate. I think Chris Paul, you know, if I'm one of those people that thinks the Clippers are going to be pretty good this year. So I have a feeling that the Clippers will finish with a very good record. And I think he has an opportunity to be in that discussion. I mean, as he was last, I think he was third last year in both. So I think he'll be top three as well.
And as far as me, I think, you know, having won three of the last four MVPs, I think some so-called voter fatigue could set in when people are voting for James. But I think, like others have said, he's the best player in the league. And I think especially this year, now that he's finally accepted a role as a power forward, playing more in the post, I think that could become the story this year, especially with the Heat, you know, finally accepting the fact that Chris Bosh is their center. They're going to go small. So I think that not only could we see James win the MVP, but I also think that maybe Spoelstra could get a Coach of the Year award now that he's won a title, especially if the Heat come out with the best record in the East or in the league. Maybe we might see people sort of come along and say, well, you've won a title. Here's a Coach of the Year award for you.
And I think similarly, if the Heat have the best record in the league, then that also helps LeBron's chances, gives him another feather in his cap. But I think personally, and I think he wins another MVP, and then the voter fatigue sets in, and I think somebody else wins it next season. That's my opinion. And I think, yeah, Spoelstra has a solid chance at winning the Coach of the Year, but then again, there's always a team or two that surprises, and a coach from that kind of a team, like a Sixers type of a team that has a decent season, that kind of a coach can also win. It's not always just the team that's the most successful. Okay, well, we kind of touched on it briefly, but what are your guys' picks? What's the best team in the New York area and the Los Angeles area? Real quick, what do you guys think?
That's a tough one. That's a very tough – I mean, I'm sure you guys probably all think the Lakers are the best in the L.A. area. I don't blame you for that. I'm just not sold on them, you know. I love what they did, obviously, in adding Dwight Howard. And, you know, they've improved their bench with Antoine Jameson. You know, it's gonna be intriguing to see how Steve Nash can stay healthy with Kobe Bryant, very old backcourt. I think from a personnel standpoint, they are the superior team. I just worry about their health, you know, and their age. And if they're healthy, I pick the Lakers. But if I just worry about their health. And in the New York area, I would say that it's just health. You know, you have Amari Stoudemire is out, I think, about, 6 weeks now with a knee problem. You know, yeah, Tyson Chandler has a sprained knee. Shumpert's still coming back from knee surgery. I mean, they're all and they're extremely old. They're probably older than the Lakers. They have Paolo Prigioni is about 35. Marcus Camby, Kurt Thomas,
Rasheed Wallace.
Oh my God, yeah.
Wallace, Jason Kidd. I don't know what's going on over there in terms of, you know, acquiring all these really old pieces. I have to give the edge to the Nets just purely on the fact that they're younger, but. You know, because I just think the league is becoming the league of young, and you have to be young and athletic, I think, to survive in this league.
Yeah, I think the Nets will also be the team that wins the battle of the boroughs, so to speak. Because if you look at the Knicks, you pay three guys really good contracts, and yet it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play all three of those guys together. I think that's a mistake, and I think maybe with Amari being hurt, you might see Carmelo play a little bit more of the four. This was what happened at the end of last year in April when he won, I think, Player of the Month, when he was really playing well at the four. I think we could see Amari traded by the trade deadline. And as far as the LA area, I'm obviously going with the Lakers. I think they have a lot of star power. And although they're old, I think Dwight Howard is going to cover up for a lot of their mistakes.
Okay, yeah, just real quick, Lakers and Brooklyn. The Lakers, nothing with that much talent. I mean, I understand the injury concern, but any people can say that about Miami and Dwayne Wade. Dwight Howard's coming off back surgery, but he's 26 and he's already played in the preseason. Yeah, the Lakers it's too overwhelming. It's too much. They're going to be outstanding. And Brooklyn, I don't like a team led by Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire. I don't know what's going on there. It's coming off a bad year, and he's hurt. That's like that. That's not just speculating on injury. I mean, this is a consistently injured guy who's coming off a bad season. And I like Brooklyn's roster construction, so Brooklyn and LA.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well. Just on paper, I like Brooklyn's roster. I want to see them gel. I want to see what they can really do against top competition. But I still don't see either one being a great team. And I like the Clippers. I really do. I like their depth, but I'm still gonna go with the Lakers as a top team. Let's move on real quick. Speaking of Lakers, what'd you guys think of that LeBron to Lakers hypothetical scenario that was brought up last week? What are you guys' overall impressions? Could it really possibly happen?
Yeah, of course it can. Could it? I mean, LeBron. I would have laughed in your face if you told me LeBron was going to play for the Heat in 2008, 2009. It would just seem something that seems impossible. Like, there's no reason for LeBron to leave Miami as currently constructed. There's like a bunch of reasons. It could be legacy altering to be on a third team before the age of 30. He still has a 28-year-old star power forward by his side. For those who think Dwayne Wade's going to be too old, which he is, he's inevitably going to decline. Amongst the fact that Miami can pay him the most, so there's those things, but yeah, I mean, I'm not. It's a business, and I just never shut the door on something. I mean, I can't see him doing that at all. But I mean, you kind of laugh at it, but you know, people laughed at the big three here, and it just. I'm not going to dismiss that. The Lakers, that Lakers team operates like a fantasy team. They always reload, and let's not scoff at that so fast.
Well, as far as what I think you're going to have Dwight Howard. I think he's going to re-sign with the Lakers. You're going to have Steve Nash in the last year of his contract. And I also think that although Kobe has said he's going to, you know, hang up the shoes after these last 2 years, I think I could see him coming back for another year at maybe $10 million. So that would really hamper their cap room. And if Kobe tries to come back for a third year in the NBA, which I think he's going to try to do, I don't think that'll happen. If Kobe does indeed decide to retire after 2 years. I think that, I mean, the Lakers will have a lot of cap space, just as the Heat, you know, in 08 and 09, people were saying, well, the Heat are going to have a lot of cap space. The question is who. I just don't think that I could see LeBron James going to the Lakers to play with, number one, a team that Dwight Howard would have already been on for 2 years, already sort of making him seem like the franchise guy. I just don't really see it. I think LeBron James is going to stay on the Heat for his entire career, really. I mean, I think he's, you know, he said that he wants to win several championships while he's here. He has two of his friends here. And I think that it would be almost, I mean, I know that people say like loyalty doesn't matter in sports, but I think if LeBron James left, I would not really look on that decision as very loyal. I mean, I think Pat Riley could just offer him a no-trade clause because loyalty goes both ways. And I think Pat Riley's going to try to keep him here, obviously. I just don't see him going to L.A. And I think that entire piece that Brian Windhorst wrote was entirely speculation. I mean, it was all about, well, this one rival GM said this. Nothing was based in fact.
Yeah, I will give you that. That was kind of, it was kind of just a fabrication. I'll give you that.
Wait. You're right. It was speculation, but I think Jay is also right. And anything's possible in this business. The door is always open, you know? So, I mean, while I agree with you that I don't think it's likely, you really never know. I mean, it depends who else is on the market that year. I'm not sure if you guys know who else is going to be available that year if LeBron decides to opt out.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, here's one intriguing narrative. What if there's a part of LeBron that thinks, you know, it might be interesting to try to go into Kobe's territory and, you know, outshine him in his own, you know, in his own team. Meaning, like, if Kobe retires, of course. Like, what if there's a – he always kind of had a chip on his shoulder, I believe, because he was always compared to Kobe. And then I think he's always – he even took jabs at him saying, you know, talk about he's not selfish. You know, he – you know, stuff like that, you know, like how he, you know, doesn't need to score. So, I mean, that's one interesting narrative. If at one point he ever thinks to himself, hey, what if I go to the Lakers and I show people that, look, I can do this better than he did it, you know? I don't know, just playing devil's advocate.
I think I could envision a scenario where maybe last season they lost in Boston and that was the end of that season and it was another season of disappointment. Maybe you come up with that. But I don't see it realistically happening at this point. Now that he won one, he's going to be gunning for another one this year. And if you really look 4 or 5 years down the line, everything is kind of just building up for it to be truly LeBron's team for the future. And I think he could call the shots conceivably. And I think it's just, that's it. I mean, I think it's just everything is primed for that. And I think he's settled in. I think it's worked so far. So there really isn't any second guessing over his decision to come down to Miami. I think it's worked perfectly for him. So I don't see it now. Maybe in his mid-30s, maybe I would see him maybe being part of a team like that, like a Karl Malone type of thing. But that's as far as I don't see him coming that quickly to the Lakers. Let's move on. How about this? Another LeBron question. Do you think he has a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year?
He's not. The same way that he's going to be the MVP this year, Dwight Howard is the best defensive player in basketball. He just is. So the same type of story would have to develop for LeBron, which is already in place because he's not. Obviously, he's a terrific defender. He's one of the top 3 or 4 defenders in the league. So the story that's going to continue to evolve is that, which to a degree is true and to a degree is a little bit exaggerated. Oh, he defends everybody and he does everything and how much he helps Miami with that. So as that story begins to take off and you know, I think there's a chance people are a little fatigued, even though Dwight didn't get it last year, might be a little fatigued with Dwight and he's kind of the consensus defensive guy. So I think as that story develops, LeBron's going to – definitely. I think this year is the first year in a while where I've said, wow, I think a wing player, especially LeBron, could actually win this award. But I think Dwight Howard is pretty easily the best defensive player on the planet.
Yeah, I think Dwight Howard is going to win it. I think he has a lot to prove this year. I don't think he has any excuses after the way he handled that whole last year in Orlando. I think he's really going to come out and play really well. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a lot of games with like five or more blocks. And as far as James, I mean, I think he has a shot, but the thing that bothers me is if you look at what he did on the defensive end of the floor his first year and then these last 2 years, he's actually had fewer responsibilities on that end of the floor after Shane Battier came. Now, I don't know if a lot of the voters think about this, but just from my perspective, I wouldn't give him the award because he's having other guys on the perimeter also defending those same top-tier players on the opposing team. So that's my just 2 cents. But I think he'll always be one of the elite defensive players, probably one of the top two or three perimeter guys. But we have to see. I mean, I'm also going to go with Dwight Howard here.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think Dwight Howard wins it again. I think it is a good narrative, too, because he's going to come to the Lakers. Like you said, he has a lot to prove. He already felt like he would have won last year had he not gotten hurt. You know, I remember Tyson Chandler was so eloquent when he said in his press conference, well, if these guys didn't get beat so much, I probably wouldn't have won the award. And I think the same thing will occur on the Lakers where, you know, guys are going to get beat a lot and Dwight's going to, you know, fill a lot of holes. But I will just want to add something really quickly. I've always been kind of annoyed with how much Dwayne Wade gets forgotten about on defense. It's really always pissed me off because I felt like Wade's one of the best defenders on the perimeter for years now, and he's one of the best shot-blocking guards of all time. Yep. Plays the passing lane beautifully. It's always really pissed me off with how, not to take anything away from LeBron, I think he's a fabulous defender, but Dwayne Wade never gets the credit he deserves.
That's life for him. I mean,
it really sucks, though. The guy, he's a better shot blocker than LeBron, and he's, what, 4 or 5 inches smaller than him?
Yeah.
He's got great timing.
And Wade hasn't even been on the All-NBA.
Yeah, not once.
He's been on All-Defensive second team 3 times.
Right, but not on the first team.
Yeah, Kobe gets way more credit for being a great defender than Dwayne.
If you change Kobe and Wade's jerseys and career paths, it'd be the same. Kobe gets the benefit of a lot of perception stuff that Dwayne Wade has never got. So it's true.
Poor Dwayne.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I meant. Yeah, Dwayne. Like, yeah. He doesn't get that. Dwayne Wade is one of the most when you actually look at his production, he's one of the most underrated.
Yeah,
he's probably the most people know he's a superstar, but just like it's just especially when you saw this year when he gets ranked like 8th on ESPN's poll, and it's just like it's like people are so he just doesn't get any benefit.
No, that's sad. Other You're superstars. Right.
Yeah.
You remember when he had, I think he put on the greatest finals performance history in terms of PER. In 2006, right? And then his performance in 2011 against the Mavericks was the best player
in that finals.
Right. So I mean, but he also that was the second highest PER. I mean, the guy he doesn't get any respect.
He played amazing in the Olympics too in 2008.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
Yeah, right, the leading scorer. Right. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Off the bench, mind you.
Yeah. Exactly. With a shaved head.
If I could just throw one thing in, just to go back to the topic before the next question. Yeah, the thing about LeBron, that's why it gets a little overrated, because I remember consistently, like, Shane Battier getting thrown like a sacrificial lamb to get eaten alive by Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony on the perimeter, and LeBron would only go guard them on more important possessions. And that's why Shane was brought here, which is smart. But this team, I mean, LeBron doesn't even probably start guarding the other team's best player.
But that changed after game one of the finals. In the finals,
you play the whole game. I'm saying, for sure.
But Durant still averaged 30 points on like 55%.
Yeah, can't stop that guy.
So I mean,
and who was he guarding?
No, I mean he did his best. They both did a great job. But I think Jay is absolutely right. No, Jay's right about that, and I want to build on that because even in last year, in 2011. I thought it was overblown because you had other guys that were guarding Derrick Rose for the duration of the game. Then in the very final minutes, LeBron jumps on him, and the media makes this really just sort of, in my opinion, just over-exaggerates the effect he had. And I think the guy that defends the top-notch player for the majority of the game should get more credit than the person that switches off on the last two possessions.
All right, cool. Okay, we just saw the last round of cuts from the Heat. What are you guys in agreement with? I was in complete agreement. I liked Garrett Temple, but I'd still would rather have Harris and Harrelson. I think those guys prove that they deserve those final spots. What are you guys' impressions on the final roster?
I completely agree with the Heat's decisions. I think that, you know, Temple offered something. I think he could have, you know, if he was the one who made the team, I wouldn't have been livid about that. But I think, and I actually wrote this for Ha Hoops, you know, next year you're going to have the harsh luxury tax kick in. So I think you're going to see Mike Miller amnestied. Ray Allen can become a free agent, and so can James Jones. Maybe he feels like he hasn't been getting enough playing time, and he, you know, can decide to leave. And I think with Harris, if you keep him for these 2 years, sort of mold him into becoming a good backup wing player, I think he can really help. And I think he actually showed some flashes last year and in the preseason that he can offer something with his athleticism, with his shooting, with his defense, that he can help. And I think this is just about the future. And I think with Harris, you have something for the future. He's talented. And as far as Josh Harrelson, I think, you know, he's just going to be someone who's going to come in when the situation calls for it. I think a lot of the time Haslam is going to back up Bosch. But I think maybe if the Heat play, you know, a team with a pretty big front line, then you might see Bosch move over to the power forward spot with Harrelson. And I think he offers something with that three-point shooting that he can space the floor. And it just goes back to this whole positionless basketball that Spo has really been talking about. Because if your two wing players are post-up threats and Bosch and Harrelson are, and, you know, even Lewis are three-point threats, then why even have positions on the floor if that's the way you're going to play? It just makes the opposition really tough to guard the Heat effectively if you have, you know, and we actually even saw this in the finals when Serge Ibaka was, you know, is a guy used to being in the paint, you know, blocking shots, but when he had to go guard Shane Battier, he was, you know, leaving him open, and that led to a lot of open three-pointers. So I think I am in a complete agreement with the two choices, Harris and Harrelson. But like I said, I wouldn't have been upset or livid if it had gone to Garrett Temple.
Yeah, nothing, no surprises there. I expected Josh Harrelson to make the roster. I liked him a lot. As you guys saw the post on Hot Hoops, I thought he could help the game with his floor stretching. No surprise there. And, yeah, Terrell Harris over Garrett Temple's a wash. And it just, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think that was those are the two guys that were expected to make the team. You know, Harris had been there before, so he's kind of the, you know. And Harrelson, like you did mention, yeah, he has that, you know, he has the capability to stretch the floor. He's big, and I think the Heat need all the big bodies that they can get at this point.
Would you sign Greg Oden then, if you showed a little bit of improvement this season?
I thought he was taking this year off.
I don't know what he's doing.
Guys, let's let Greg Oden sleep. Let's leave him alone. We keep hearing rumors about Greg Oden. He's not ever going to be an NBA player again.
Well, you guys Curry, Eddie Curry's the Knicks are going to sign him.
What?
Oh, God.
No, I said the Knicks are going to sign
him. He'd fit in.
God.
Do you see the Heat winning any other awards? Maybe Ray Allen, sixth man? Something like that?
I mean, I think that Ray Allen can obviously have a few games here and there. Well, he'll have five or more three-pointers. But I wouldn't see – I don't see him getting the sixth man of the year just because I think he's going to be someone who's going to play about 25 minutes a night. I think with the sixth man of the year, you might have people playing, you know, up to 30, maybe more than that. I think he'll definitely be someone who can offer a much-needed scoring boost off the bench, which is something that the Heat haven't had, especially with the fact that Mike Miller has really been injured pretty much all the time. He was supposed to be that guy who could come off the bench, make a few threes, probably score double-digit points. I think Ray Allen's going to do that. I just don't see him winning the Sixth Man of the Year. I think someone else is going to win it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that and I think maybe Coach of the Year, as you guys mentioned earlier, is a real possibility for Spoelstra this year.
With James Harden getting traded, I don't know if the Thunder were going to continue to bring him off the bench, but it opens the doors for Jamal Crawford, Jason Terry, and Ray Allen to get that award. Especially the Allen and Terry dynamic is going to be a lot of narrative because of that Boston-Miami thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think everything's opened up without Harden. Harden was the clear-cut best six man. So now, you know, Manu has a shot again too. So yeah, it's wide open.
Yeah, we can't forget about Jason Terry as well. Now he's going to play for the Celtics. I mean, there's a lot of quality candidates for that award. That's going to wrap up the preseason. Thanks you guys for joining me. And do you guys have any final words or how we can find you on online social media?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at Diego Heat NBA. It's like sort of Syria's, which is Syria Heat NBA, just my name instead of Syria. So that's my Twitter name.
Yeah, my handle is CourtBully, which is an extension of my blog, CourtBully.com. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Yeah, my handle is I am KILENM, which is I'm Killing Them on Twitter. And let's go Heat this year.
All right, on that note, see you guys later. And we'll definitely be doing this on a more regular basis throughout the regular season. All right. Take care, guys.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Yeah.